until now, most of the malachos that we've done have taken a few shiurim, right? I think Choresh took 2 shiurim. Before that, there were a few more. So for the next few malachos, they're actually going to be pretty quick. Each of them will take about a shiur. And then we're going to get to Borer and Dash and bigger malachos. But for the next few weeks and in between them, so we'll have some, today we'll be talking about Kotzer, which is the idea of harvesting or cutting. We'll talk about Ma'amar at some point, gathering, we'll talk about winnowing. And each of these, really, we can do in one shiur. Not because they're, you know, they don't have a lot of halacha to them or the like, but just because as far as what we're trying to get to, which is practical halacha, there are limited, I'd say limited applications to what you and I are dealing with on an everyday Shabbos, every week Shabbos.
Rabbi, when you say cutting, are we, because looking at the title, we're talking about trees in the title of the Living Shabbos handout, are we referring to cutting of trees or cutting of...
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll define the malacha. I use the word cutting because... some people use harvesting. If someone can give me a better word, harvesting, cutting, pruning would pruning is actually to promote growth. So the focus over there is actually falls under probably Zoreya. Actually, interestingly, about promoting growth and growing. So we'll define what are the parameters, where it applies, and how it applies. Just as the background, the basic idea of Kotzer, I guess we'll call harvesting. I know there's a better word out there. It's on the tip of my tongue somewhere there. Harvesting, cutting, not threshing.
Separating.
But then we get confused with borer. Okay, we'll call it harvesting and cutting for now until we come across a better word. So the way we found in... Yes?
Harvesting, I think it was picking fruit. Is that what you're referring
yes.
to?
Yes. Okay, so if that's what we think of harvesting, that's exactly what this is. I guess when I think of harvesting, I think of someone with a scythe and cutting wheat, which is also the same thing. So, great, harvesting, that's our word. So, kotzer, which is harvesting, where do we find it in the Mishkan? And again, we always try to go back to the Mishkan because that is the example of where it came from. So, according to Rashi, it could be found in the Mishkan for the dyes, because when they were cooking the dyes for the dyeing of all the curtains and everything, so they had to... We'll pick all the, not the produce, but the plants and everything. And according to Rav Hai, one of the earlier Rishonim as well, so he understood it was for the purposes of baking bread for the Lechem Apanim, part of the sacrifices. So again, it all had to do with either the Mishkan or the service in the Mishkan itself, but that's where it could be sourced. The idea of cutting down the plants for the purposes, or the wheat, for the purposes of cooking or dyeing. Dying things. So that's where we find it.
Just humor me for a minute. They were out in the middle of the desert where nothing grows, and they were growing all these products?
Ostensibly. Now, I don't recall. There is an opinion. I'm trying to remember that we're going based on what, not an opinion, but there's something to your question. Either Enochanami is the answer of yes, there was, they were promoting growth, they were growing these things. You could say it was arid, okay, miraculously so. Maybe somewhere brought in the Eglital that whatever would be done, maybe cactuses, okay, it could be.
Cactuses have fruit, and cactuses you get the water out of the leaves.
Right, so I don't know what they use for the dyes, the exact dyes or plants. I seem to recall, is it the Eglital? I have to look it up again, but there is some opinion that maybe we're also talking about what would later be done, the processes which would later be done to, let's say, cook the bread. But I'd have to look that up again.
Because after all, they weren't really baking bread for most of the time. They were eating the
whatever that process would be done for the bread, which was commanded to, you know, to have the lechem upon them, so that would be the process. So the question is, was it actually being done, or is it part of the process of which they would have to fulfill that command? I think a lot of people assume Enochanami, meaning yes, they were in an arid place, part of the miracle perhaps, growing these things. It's a good question. I have to get back to you as far as if what I'm saying about the second approach is true. So now, before we even get into this, when we hear harvesting, so that's a great translation. But harvesting, or I use the word cutting, because what you're doing is you're cutting things from the ground, or you're cutting things from the tree. So how's that any different than a later malacha we're going to learn about, which is gozes, which is the idea of shearing or also cutting something from its source?
Okay,
right? A sheep, you do gziza, you shave it. One of the outgrowths, one of the derabanans about gozes of shearing is actually picking or biting fingernails, right? Because that's removing something from a living source, a body. So what's the difference between gozes, shearing and cutting off from a living source, versus harvesting, right? Kotzer, where I'm also cutting off something from a living source. One grows back, one doesn't. I could push back on you and say, yes, a nail grows back, but fruits or trees, let's say you took something, so also replenishes or grows, right?
Not as fast.
Okay, so now we're getting into very, very minute detail.
You have to see the hedge in front of my house. You can't see anything grow that fast.
So I'm just saying that realize these two seem similar on one hand, but we're going to hopefully realize some difference between them.
But is it required that you use a tool?
Good question. Now, harvesting kotzer is done with a tool, midoraisa. Mm-hmm. That is how it was done. A tolda, meaning that's the ab, that's how it was done. The tolda, which is very similar, just done in a slightly either for a different purpose or in a different manner, is tolesh, which is the idea of not using a tool, just taking it out by hand. It's also a deoraisa. It's just it's not the av. It's the tolda. Again, the difference is about what you want.
Breaking a twig off of a tree.
Breaking a twig off of a tree would be kotzer. Yeah, if you're breaking it off. Yeah, correct. Even by hand, that would be called tolesh, which is the same thing as kotzer, just by hand. Yes.
Probably same question. So, like picking fruit. Is that the same malacha?
It's the same malacha, just when the word I'll use is kotzer is the overarching, that's the av. That's how it was found in the Mishkan, with a tool, so to say. The tolda, which we said is the same thing on the deoraisa level, it's just the only difference is it's either being done with the same purpose in mind, just done differently, or it's being done the same way with a little bit of a different purpose. So here, it's the same purpose, I'm just doing it a little bit differently. I'm not using a tool, I'm using my hand. So it's a different word, tolesh, uprooting or taking off, but it's the same malacha, it's the same thing. Tolesh kotzer, yeah. Okay, let's ask our two questions.
Can I ask you one other question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I reserve the right to say we're going to get to it.
Okay, so if you have a hen and it lays an egg on Shabbos, you can't take the egg and use it on Shabbos.
Right.
If an apple drops off of a tree, is the rule the same?
Yes, and it's part of the discussion here, actually. So
the apple falls onto the tree, onto the ground from the tree, I can't pick it up.
Correct. So we're going to get to that. That'll be part of the later, the derabanans. We'll get to it. Let's start off with our two questions now. We'll define the malacha, and we'll circle back. So question one. While at the park this past Shabbos, I was sitting on a large tree root. Since there weren't any available chairs, you know, there's always that comfortable tree root. You don't want to sit on the dirt. Someone came over to me and kindly noted that it's preferable not to lean on any part of a tree on Shabbos. Were they correct? Am I allowed to sit on a tree root on Shabbos? Okay.
I would say you're not doing any work.
Okay, so you're not doing any work. In fact, you're resting, you're chilling.
You're not doing anything.
Okay.
That affects the tree
versus sitting on a branch would be very different, I think.
Right, so it's not like I'm...
You're not going to break the root enough. Sitting on a branch, you might break the branch off.
Right, meaning I'm not accidentally... Okay, good. Right, that gets into one of the later discussions about why am I not allowed to go up into a tree, right? That could be part of it. Okay, so yes, no, fine.
I would say the person was not correct.
You would say the person was not correct, and David leaning towards there's definitely a difference between the root and the tree. No one actually came over to me and said this, nor was I sitting on a root. But just, it's a question. Okay, number two. When we come home from shul, I find myself enjoying the lilies in our front yard. Am I allowed to smell them on Shabbos? To be totally honest, I had to look up what flowers smell good. Apparently lilies smell good. So can I smell lilies on Shabbos? I don't know. I knew roses. Okay. So can I, a honeysuckle bush, anything that smells nice.
Well, you know, because when I come to pull it off, rip it off, that's the whole.
Oh, that's the gazelle, right? If I smell it, am I going to rip it out?
go ahead. One of my criticisms of rabbis is they live in the...
I'm sitting right here. I'm just saying.
Okay. Is they were all living what I call the world of Shema. Maybe some... We're not going to do this because maybe something else might happen.
And the beauty of that is that they have such an awareness of human nature that Shema is how we live, right? I personally live in a world of Shema also, not because I'm rabbi, but because I will come. Like when we talked about cleaning up the house, and perhaps if you come to sweep, if you're sweeping or doing all that, you'll actually come to fill in holes. I'm telling you, if they hadn't made that and I was living in a dirt floor house, I'd be the guy they made the rule for, because I'm telling you, I'd be cleaning this and all of a sudden I see a hole. Oh gosh, that looks horrible. And I cover it over. So I'm sorry. I'm both the person... I'm the person they designed it for, but yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, this is a scuffle question based on his. That you can always make assumptions, just like.
No, but okay? There's limited. Well, we don't take it so far. They had a certain knowledge of either what was or what could be, and we don't take it farther than that, and nor did they. We'll see the Durabanans, and we can get to those soon. Let's define the Malacha. And then when we get to the Durabanans, we'll table this, and then we can talk about it then. So let's just understand, what is kotzer, right? What is the idea of harvesting? Reaping, that's the word I was thinking of, reaping. Okay, it's not much better. I guess we can stick with harvesting. Says the source one, Gemara Shabbos, v'ha kotzer, right? The Mishnah listed the 39 malachos, and now the Gemara goes into describing each one. Tana, we learned hakotzer, habotzer, va'agoder, va'amasik, va'ore, kula malacha achas. So one who reaps, right, there we go, reap. If you pick fruits, if you harvest dates, if you collect different types of olives, if you gather figs, these are all different types of words used, I guess, for specific types of produce. But all these are kula malacha achas. They're all one type of malacha, which we call picking produce or picking, something growing. And that is what we call kotzer. So it would be a problem in all these cases. Now the question we have to ask is the issue picking something from where it's growing because it's growing from the ground or growing from something connected to the ground, or really anything that's growing. So what's the difference? Well, something like mushrooms, right? Mushrooms really aren't growing. They could be growing on a rock, right? I think, yes, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Mushrooms are not, do not get, at least certainly in halacha, do not get their sustenance from the ground. That's why a mushroom is not borei pri adama. It's shehakol nieh bevaro. Now, I don't really eat mushrooms, so I wouldn't really know that, but that's apparently what they say. So shehakol nieh bevaro, that's what you say on a mushroom. So if a mushroom, if I pick it off the rock, or moss off of a rock, is that kotzer? I'm not really detaching anything from the ground or from a tree, from a life source, right? And the second question...
I have moss that grows on the shingles on my house.
Right, good. Also, that's a great point. Yeah. Sorry, there was another?
But if you take the moss off the shingles and just leave it to dry, it dies.
So let's say it. Let's put it in the, in the yeshivish way. Is kotzer uprooting from the ground, or is it uprooting something from its life source? Right? If I uproot this, it will die. Or is the idea of just the fact that I'm taking something and uprooting it from the ground or from the tree?
Like,
right?
Hydroponics.
Yeah. Right.
But you're uprooting it from its structural source, not from a nutrition source.
It's right. Okay, good. Yes, so that could also be, because what you're saying is it's not, what if I put it down? Okay, good. These are all good questions to essentially arrive at what is kotzer and from where? And really, to further that a little bit more, again, what about shearing off of the animal or taking a fish, we'll see, out of the water? You're taking them out or taking them off of their life source and then they die. So is that kotzer? I've never heard of that being kotzer, right? So what is kotzer? So the Gemara in Shabbos says as follows. Amar Shmuel says, Hashola dag mina yam. If someone lifts a fish out of the sea, kevin shiyavesh bo kesela chayev. Once it dries up the amount of a sela, a certain surface area, you are chayev. What are you chayev for? Meaning you're punishable for killing it. Now why? Because he said...
You're chayev misa.
Okay. Yes. But what? Why? What was the problem? What did you just do? Well, you killed a fish. as evidenced by the fact that it has to dry up Acela, because once it's dried up or dried to a certain point, well, it's no longer going to be able to live, right? Nothing to do with detaching it from its life source, because if it was about detaching it from its life source, the minute I pulled it out, I would be chayev, because I just detached it from its life source, the water. It's about, at what point did I kill it? So far we see just detaching something from its life source is not a problem. I mean, it's a problem on Shabbos, but not a problem of kotzer. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Abaye says, Haiman ditlash pitra meuna dechatzba mechay mishim oker davar migidulo. That if you take off a mushroom from a pitcher or from where it's growing, so that is a problem, because you're uprooting something from where it is growing, right? That's where it grows, and that's the way it grows. And by taking it off the place where it grows and how it grows, you're killing it. And you're not chayev for killing the plant, or for killing, but you're chayev for uprooting it from its spot. Then they bring an argument on this. Hatolesh me'atzav nako chayev, v'she'ina nako patr. But if I have a plant that's sitting in a potted plant that's totally disconnected from the ground, plastic on the bottom. So if I uproot that, I'm not obligated, I'm not chayev, at least not deoraisa. But yet you're telling me the mushroom, which isn't sitting on the ground, I am? And the answer is because that's not the normal way for it to grow. The mushroom, the normal way for it to grow is in this airspace. A mushroom doesn't need to be growing on the ground. A mushroom can grow even on a physical object, essentially, or on the rock or on the jug. So the point being, to pull out from here, are two things. One, it's clear from the Gemara, killing the animal, taking it from its life source, is not kotzer. It's a problem, but it's not kotzer. It's not uprooting. What's uprooting or what's harvesting? Taking something from the place where it grows. And seemingly not even just from the ground, but even if it's getting its nutrients from where it is, you know, even if it's not physically on the ground, taking it off in that way would be kotzer, would be uprooting it from its life, uprooting it from its connection. So that would seem to be kotzer.
Okay, so let's say that I had a big open space in my house, which I don't, but if I did, and I put a big pot there with, you know, totally enclosed pot, no perforations or anything, and I put a, let's say, an orange tree in there, could I pluck the oranges to grow?
No, definitely not. There's still the derabundans, and also there's something to be said for, is it in a space that can still... The simple answer is definitely not.
If I put it in the middle of my living room.
Right, no.
As an adornment.
No, anything that's still growing, it can't be plucked from.
But that's not what it says here.
So this is on the deoraisa level. On the derabanan level, not even a question, it's not okay. We didn't really talk about this. I didn't talk about potted and unpotted plant, or potted plants and potted plants with holes in it. We didn't talk about that when we were talking about Zorei and Choresh. Just because I didn't think how applicable it is if we're dealing with potted or the like plants in our house so much. But the simple...
I mean, I know people who grow their herbs.
Right, yeah, it's 100% not okay. 100% against halacha to do kotzer from even those. This was just on the deoraisa level trying to bring another gemara to disprove, right? But as far as the actual halacha, for sure not. Okay, so now.
I read that. I was getting ready to go. That's
why we have to, you know, finish the source, right? So what arises from here is oker dover migidulo, taking it from the place where it's growing, is going to be a problem. And if I'm taking a fish out of its stream or out of its water, that would not. I mean, again, it's a problem, but it's not kotzer because. Seemingly the focus is on karka, on ground, on pulling something out of the earth or something related to the earth.
Isn't there also another issue called sayed? You're trapping.
Yeah, trapping. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it happens to be they get around that. The Ramban has a way of getting around it. Says it's already, instead of taking out the sea, we're talking about you took it out of a, you put it, it was in a bucket before Shabbos or in an area, so you didn't really trap it because it's already trapped. Good question. The answer is to take out the sea. Yes, that would also be trapping. It would be trapping. It would be killing. It would not be kotzer. Okay. So now, it's interesting because according to this, what about, let's say, a dead tree or a fruits that are totally dried up on a tree? So let's say a fruit is totally dried up and dead, or there's a tree that's really basically dead. To take branches off that tree or to pluck the fruit, so I would have said it's okay, because you're not detaching it from a life source anymore. Okay, so you're saying no, so what? Why not? Oh, so you would say it's promoting growth. So good, it could be pruning and it's helping it to grow. It could be. Let's presume that it wasn't in this case. So would it be, just to highlight the point, would it be kotzer? So according to a lot of these commentaries, no, these understandings. The Rambam seems to think that anytime you're taking something from its connection to the earth, that's a problem, whether or not it's fully its life source anymore. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. So where we're at now is the idea of taking something from its life source or from the place that would have been its life source, of which is no longer, essentially the ground, that's the problem. So if I could simply say the malacha of kotzer from these sources, we would say the idea of kotzer, the idea of harvesting, is to sever the connection between something that's growing in the ground, right? To sever it from the ground or to sever it from its life source, right? That would be kotzer. Which doesn't apply to an animal, nor a human, right? I am not planted in the ground. Although I did just read in a story, in a book written by Nachman Seltzer, I think, one of his books with a lot of different stories. And he tells of a guy who was searching, an Israeli, after the army, he was searching for himself. So he went to India, he went to all these different places, and he wanted to find Buddha. He was searching for spirituality. And eventually he made his way through all the therapy, through all the different aspects of Buddhism, and he got to the top of the top, and he wanted to be trained by the monk, and he goes to the monk, and this is a real story, and he goes, and they say, you can't really speak to him because he's working on his breathing. So what does it mean that he's working on his breathing? So the monk was training himself to have to take very shallow breaths, or only a number of breaths per day with meditation, so that, to work on control of mind and spirit and body. I don't know what any of that means in terms of that, but that's what his goal was. So they said, you can't speak to him, but you can come. So they came, and how he worked on his breathing at this point, he had become so adept at it that he actually was buried upside down with just his feet sticking out with a straw inserted to be able to get a number of breaths per day. So this person, this Israeli, saw this, and it just dawned on him, and he says, I was put in this world to be a human and not a plant. So how could it be that I'm going to learn from this monk and put everything just to become a plant, right? So we are not, this story really struck me for multiple reasons, but we are not plants.
What did the monk say?
Yeah, right, what did the monk say? He said, water me. But yes, I'm sorry.
Are there some plants that grow in water, like seaweed or kale?
Yeah, or we could talk about hydroponics, that they're growing in water, and so would uprooting that be a problem? Because on one hand, we're saying uprooting from it, we're defining it by uprooting it from its nutrients from the ground or the place where it grows. On the other hand, we're saying uprooting it from its life source. So it's a good question. I presume if we understand it to be uprooting it from its life source of growth and the nutrients, it would be a problem. Yes.
Understood, but are we saying then that it might be kotzer?
I hear what you're saying. So, one second. If we're understanding, so according to those who say it has to be specifically from the ground, so no, this wouldn't be kotzer. And even the Rambam, who holds that you can have kotzer, he still thinks it's from the ground. It's just a matter of the separation, the physical separation. So if we hold that it has to be specifically from the ground, then it's very possible. You're right. On a d'oraisa level, we would not be calling this kotzer. I'd have to look into this, but it is very possible on a d'oraisa level, yeah, that this would not be called kotzer because you're not taking it out from the ground. Very, very good point. I'm not suggesting we do that. We shouldn't be doing that on Shabbos. There's some other aspects to that.
Look at what it says here, whereas here in this case of mushrooms, that's the way it grows.
Oh, Hainu Rabise, right? That is the way. Yeah, oh, good, good, good. Thank you. That might be the response. Thank you. That's very good, right? The idea is maybe not just the focus on the ground, but the focus on this is how it grows.
It's instead of calling it saying ground, you would say the medium.
Right, the medium in which it grows. That's a very good proof to say that it would be a problem of Kotzer. Yes, that's a good point. Okay, point well taken. Shkayach.
So then it might be
Kotzer if
we harvest seaweed or kale or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's really according to that, it would be Kotzer. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's a great point. Heine Rabisi. Yes. Okay, so now.
It's good having me around.
It's good. Yeah, I totally agree. For more than just that reason.
Come back next week.
There we go. Okay. So the Yerushalmi now. The Yerushalmi is very interesting because the Yerushalmi actually says straight out that if you catch a fish, if you sayad kavra, if you trap a fish and take it out of the water, mavdilo mechayuso chay mishum kotzer. It says straight out, if you take it out of its water, out of its life source, you have done kotzer. You have harvested.
That's not sayad?
It might be tzayit. Again, we're presuming it was in a place that was already trapped. So on Shabbos, when you took it out, you're not trapping.
Well, it says who catches a fish. It means it wasn't...
Okay. But you could be maybe also, I think the answer the Ramban gives is what I just said. But you could also say, yes, also it's a problem of trapping. But to highlight here, it's definitely a problem, according to Yerushalmi, of harvesting. Okay?
Okay. So it's not nothing to do with the ground.
Exactly. So Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi disagrees with our Gemara. Uh-huh. The Yerushalmi says that is harvesting. It's the idea of taking something from its life source. Even if it's an animal. Let me just say, we do not hold by this Yerushalmi. But we don't pass in this way. But just to highlight, because that's the question. What is the difference between the Yerushalmi versus our Gemara? So it could hinge on our discussion that we just had now. Is the idea to come from the ground? Or is the idea that you're taking it out of its place of growth, of its life source? And the Yerushalmi takes it a step farther, that if you understand you're taking it from its life source, well, that applies by animals too. That would be one way to kind of spin the argument. We do not paskin this way. It's just a fascinating argument, and the Rishonim have to deal with that Yerushalmi versus our Gemara. But that's, again, just to highlight the two sides to this question.
Okay, so you caught a fish. Before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos, you put it in a bucket of water.
Yes.
Okay? And the water in the bucket on Shabbos, it's a hot day, water evaporates.
Yes.
The fish dies. Can you eat the fish on Shabbos?
Brahma?
Well...
No, you didn't.
You
wanted to keep the fish
from... How are you going to cook it? You're going to eat it raw?
Maybe
you're sushi?
Okay, so and it's not muksa because it's already, you know, it's the question is an animal that dies. The question is, if something that dies on Shabbos that you didn't know was going to die, does that become muksa? I don't remember offhand, to be honest. I apologize. That's the question. If something that dies on Shabbos, there is the case.
Well, I mean, ordinarily with a land animal, you've got the, what is it, it would be an available.
Right. That's
not the fish.
Right. So the question is it muksa, or the fact that you know that, yeah, okay, good. So it's a question of muksa. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I guess we have to cover muksa someday. But after the malachos. Okay. So now that is the discussion here. Let me just see. So now that highlights also the difference between gozes versus kotzer. Gozes is the idea of shearing. It's really, gozes is in the world of live animals and humans. It's the idea of detaching something from the life source of a human or an animal, a living being. Whereas kotzer is the idea of detaching it from the ground or its place of nutrients. The other difference could be also kotzer is that just the idea of the separation. Whereas gozes is you specifically need to be cutting something that you want. You want it. But we'll get to gozes. Just to highlight, there's a clear difference that gozes is by animals or humans, and kotzer is by produce. Okay? So that is, yes.
Why is it okay then to take a fish out of a tank to administer medicine and then put the fish back? I didn't ask.
It's okay.
You need to save a fish's life. It's got a major infection. You need to use the medicine now.
Let's table that discussion. If someone gave that psak. We can talk about that after. Okay, Dirabanan. So that's the Dilraisa. The Dilraisa is to pluck something, to take something, whether by hand or by tool, to cut it off or take it out of the ground, off the tree, or its a source of growth, right? That would be for sure not okay. Now, there are a few Dirabanans. The Dirabanans go as follows. There is a Dirabanan of climbing a tree. There's a Dirabanan of riding an animal. And there's a Dirabanan of smelling fruit, or we'll see, flowers or fruit. So what do these have anything to do with the Malacha of Kotzer? What does it have anything to do with this? So the Gemara, good. So the Gemara, the Mishnah in Beitza says as follows. Kol shechayavin alav mishum shvos, mishum rishos, mishum mitzvah, b'shabes, chayavin alav b'yom tov. Anything that one would be chayav for, being liable due to it being a rabbinic decree, etc. So if it's prohibited on Shabbos, it's prohibited on Yom Tov. And what are such examples? So the source says, the Mishnah says, ve'elu hein, mishum shvos. These are the examples of rabbinic prohibitions. Lo olam be'ilan, you can't climb up in a tree. Ve'le roch v'nal gabe behema, you can't ride an animal. And it gives a few more. So what's the reason a person can't climb up in a tree? So David, you said this earlier, right? What's the concern of climbing up into a tree? That maybe a branch will rip, or maybe I'll break off a branch. The Gemara says, lo olam be'ilan, you're not allowed to climb up a tree. Gizera shema yitlosh. Perhaps you'll come to take it off by hand. Now, let me be very clear. The semantics are important. The concern is not that if I climb up a tree, I might accidentally break off a branch. Because what we would call that is a davar shena miskaven. It's unintended result that might or might not happen. That's okay. And you might also call it a psik resha. It's inevitable that if I climb up, I'm going to cut off a... Maybe. Is it really inevitable? It's not inevitable. So it's not that perhaps I will maybe go up, and perhaps if I go up, then maybe I'll break something, because that's far-fetched. And even if it is far-fetched, so then maybe it won't happen, maybe it won't, then it's not psik resha. It would be very far-fetched to say you can't climb up on a tree because 100% you're going to break something. So that's not why they made this rule. They made this rule because if I climb up on a tree, well, I'm sitting there in the tree and I see this apple right next to me, I'm like, oh, delicious. I remember this kid climbing up the trees and, you know, there were always berries in the trees, not edible berries, but you're up in the tree, it's like, oh, you're pulling out whatever you want. So the concern was, I'm going to climb up in a tree, I'm going to be enveloped by the branches and everything, and I'm going to pluck something. And very likely a fruit tree we're talking about also, because if I climb up in a fruit tree, well, that's where you pick the fruit from. You get the better fruits at the top. No one can get there usually. So that was the concern. It's not that maybe this will happen. It's maybe you'll do this on purpose. Now, that was the rule by the tree. When it comes to climbing the tree, there's a few other aspects. There's not just a concern of climbing, but we said that one should not get full use out of a tree on Shabbos. So that means that we shouldn't lean on a tree on Shabbos. We shouldn't be using it as support. So if a person is a fully healthy person and they just need to stabilize themselves to, you know, tie their shoe or something like that, and the tree won't move, so that's okay. But if someone's not, you know, ill and they need full support of the tree, or even if someone's healthy but the tree moves, so we don't want to, the rabbi said, you can't utilize the tree that way. Which also means things that are hanging on a tree is utilizing the tree. So if I have a coat hanging up in a tree, I can't take that down. If a ball gets into the bushes, that's above 3 tefachim, right, about 10 inches, so I can't take the ball out. That's utilizing, meaning I'm moving the tree. I'm not allowed to move a tree or move a large standing bush. So where does this come up? By swings. If I have a swing that's directly attached to a tree, a branch, so am I allowed to sit on the swing? I'm utilizing the tree. It's directly attached.
How about a treehouse?
Good. A treehouse, that's a great question. It's literally, the planks are literally on the tree. I'm totally utilizing the tree. I'm not climbing the tree, but I'm climbing in the tree. So if, it's like this. If I'm not allowed to get use from the tree, and I'm not allowed to get use from something that's directly connected to the tree, 2 steps removed is okay, because that's already, you're not really using the tree. You're using something that's on using the tree. So an example of this would be if I had hooks in a tree and then a hammock tied to the hooks. So I'm just using the hammock that's tied to the hooks. Again, presuming the trees won't move. Anytime the trees start moving, if that's a concern, it's a problem. Another would be like a swing. So the way I have a swing in my backyard is we actually have a large a beam attached to the tree, and then the swings are attached to the beam. So that's already two steps removed. That would be okay. So those are the examples of where the utilization, you're not really using the tree anymore, right? So the other thing just to highlight, when we say using the tree, the idea is using the tree of anything that's above 3 tefachim, anything that's above 10 inches. Now, why should I make a difference of how high things are and how high I'm using the tree? Well, if the whole concern is I'm going to climb up, or the whole concern is I'm going to break something off, well, the lower I am on the tree, the much less of a concern that is. The fruits, let's say, are not really growing right down 4 inches off the ground. So if something is very low to the ground, so it wasn't included within this whole gezeirah, within this whole rabbinic decree of not utilizing the tree. So when you have roots that are within 10 inches to the ground, so it's okay. A person can put their foot on it to tie their shoes. You can sit on it, whatever it is, as long as it's within that that distance. I can't think of a root that is really 10 inches off the ground. That's I guess it could be.
Mangroves.
Right. Okay. So it could be most. Those are not growing in my park over here. I'll tell you that much.
Of course, if you're sitting on a mangrove, you might end up being a meal for an alligator.
Good. So but basically, that would be the how we look at the gezeirah, that we can't utilize the tree directly, nor indirectly. But once you're using something that's tied to something that's already tied to the tree, that's far enough removed that we're not worried about it. And again, anything below 10 tefachim would also be fine. So it does come up, you know, kids are playing with the ball and it gets stuck in the bush and it's high, so we don't think about it. But taking it out, first of all, you're moving the tree or the bush. And secondly, this is now something that is within and being supported by the tree. So to be taking it out would presumably be a problem. So 1 minute.
So I'm standing in my backyard and I want to lean against my oak tree that has, the trunk is a foot in diameter. Is that a problem?
The tree won't move. If a person finds themselves to be a healthy person, that they don't need the support of the tree, you're just, you know, leaning on it, not with all your strength, just, you know, leaning on it a little. So that would presumably be okay. If it moves, or if you're leaning on it with a good amount of support, so then that's not. So we're really talking here, you know, I'm just standing here talking to a friend. I kind of put my foot behind me, leaning up against the tree. So, you know, I wonder, what does it mean with all my strength? Does it mean that without it, I would fall? In which case, if I'm leaning in an odd way, is that leaning with all my strength? Or is leaning with all my strength means I'm like really holding on to it because this is, you know, I just don't have strength. I presume what it means is using it in a way that without this, I just wouldn't be able to stand. So as a general practice, I personally don't really, you know, hug trees on Shabbos. But again, this is just, again, how we look at this gezeirah and how far it extends. Just we're short on time, so let's look at the last source. Source 5, the Gemara in Sukkah, and I'll say it outside. Rabba teaches us that when it comes to a fruit tree or any fruit, I'm not allowed to smell fruit on a tree. Why? Because that's very likely I'll pick it off, right? You said this earlier. Whereas a flower, I'm allowed to smell because I'm not likely to pick it off and eat it, right? That's very unlikely. Now, I have two questions.
Put it in a vase.
Great question. And I saw this in Orcho Shabbos and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Rosh Hashanah Orbach. Everyone asked this question that I don't understand. I might pick off a fruit and eat it, so that I can't smell. But flowers, what about very pretty flowers? Okay, the you know, flowers on the tree, I'm not going to pick off, so I can smell it. What about nice flowers in my front yard or someone else's front yard? I'm not picking mine, but if I smell them, what often happens with nice flowers? You cut them and put them in a vase. So maybe the concern is they'll smell nice enough that I will come to cut them off. It's a great question. They don't seem to be so, but at least Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, or I think maybe he's quoting Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, a great sefer on Shabbos, he's not so concerned about that. That's, again, that's taking the gzeira, right? It's taking the decree and taking it one step further. They said by flowers, it's not a concern. The concern is you'll come to eat it. My sense
We're coming back to my point before. Shema?
Right.
I mean, I think it's more likely that I would cut the flower than I would pull the fruit off the tree.
I think it speaks to the nature of a person is that hunger is a much more is a much larger factor that moves a person to do something without thought than smell. Than just something looks nice. And I think that I could be wrong, but I think that that's what they were speaking to. It's a much more base part of a person that causes us to act perhaps more irrationally than just, oh, that looks very pretty, I'd like it on my table. That at least that initially I would say that's without.
But Motzei Shabbos we make Abdalim.
On the summon, yeah.
And it's the smell which is gives you.
Yes, but we're not worried. I mean, you can continue smelling it as such. The concern is maybe you want pretty flowers on your table. So you know that it's so many steps. Again. We can talk about the nature of how the rabbis made decrees in the Shemos, but at least in this case, I see a clear difference.
How about just going up to a tree and just biting an apple? Not even like bread, just like with your bare mouth.
You're taking part of it off of its...
It would be very difficult.
Right, but it's a good question, but it would still be a problem. Okay, so now, did we miss anything? I happen to wonder about honeysuckle bush. This is where I leave off. I'm not sure. A honeysuckle bush? Let me ask you, by raise of hand, how many people grew up taking it off and sucking out the nectar? Yeah? Okay. So I'm not sure when it comes to honeysuckle bush. Is this something that we're concerned a person will pluck off and taste? Or is it like the flowers that we're not concerned? I don't know. Something tells me that we probably go based on majority of people who have not done that. So there's just three of us. Three to three. Okay, I don't know. I'm not, to be totally honest, I'm not entirely sure. And I personally would need to ask someone. But that is just an interesting question, leaving off with that. So let us go back and just look at our first two questions. We started off by wondering, essentially, can I sit on a tree root on Shabbos? So, can I sit on a tree root?
If you're sitting, then you're using all your strength. If it wasn't there, you'd fall. So,
it's a good point. That only applies on the above the three, right? If it's below three tefachim, right. So it's okay, right? So presumably a root is below 10 inches, and so it would be okay to sit on a root or to utilize a root on Shabbos. Again, that's assuming it's not moving the tree. But yeah, Dave, that's actually a good point. When we talk about the using it, the kocho, your strength, we're talking about the structure of the tree itself. And number two, can I smell my lilies on Shabbos? So, can I smell the flowers on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yeah. Something tells me I will not be biting those off and eating them. So, yes, you can smell flowers on Shabbos. Just to leave off with the following idea. So again, what's always the deeper idea of the malacha during the week versus come Shabbos? So when it comes to kotzer, we said the whole idea is detaching it from its source of life, right? So the idea of kotzer is to cut something off from where it's getting its nutrients, from where it's getting everything. So it's funny. We involve ourselves in the work of kotzer all week of cutting, reaping, and the like. Okay, we're not physically doing that anymore, but sometimes we are, but certainly farmers are. And come Shabbos, it's the realization that we've been involved with that with the whole week, right? We've been involved in cutting, and to realize the idea of cutting off something from its source is really, it's really a curse, right? It's a klolo. Again, we were cursed with the 39 malachos, with the 39 things that we had to do to make bread, and one of them is kotzer, one of them. So essentially, the fact that we have to do that is a curse. Because when I do it, everything about that is the idea of separation. And in this world is a world of separation. And the whole goal is to come Shabbos is to reattach ourselves to the source, right? It's the opposite of kotzer. We don't want to detach ourselves. We want to reattach ourselves to the source, which for us is Hashem, which is holy things, which is the realization that there are better things I can attach myself to in life. So come Shabbos, the detachment that I do is a detachment from the week and from things that I think about that this is not what I want to be involved with. This isn't me. This is not what is giving me chias. This is not what really gives me life, what gives me strength, what gives me inspiration. And Shabbos is a great time to be able to reflect on that, to be able to say, okay, so where am I going to do kotzer in my life? Hopefully I'm not doing kotzer between me and Hashem. I'm not uprooting myself from the good things. I want to find the things that, okay, so I'm detaching myself from those and from the week. And again, it's the idea to realize shebiladei Hashem Yisbarach ein lo chayim, that without Hashem I don't have life. As soon as I detach myself from Hashem, from those connections, from the kedusha, from the holy things in life, so that's not life anymore. That's not life. And that's, I think, that one of the ideas of Kotzer, to be able to come to Shabbat and say, okay, I detached from the week, but now what do I reattach myself to? So that's Kotzer, perhaps on a deeper, on a Pnimius level. Okay, we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, we can talk about those, and we can also follow up on a few questions we had earlier in this year. Okay, thank you. Just as an addendum, Richard was totally correct about the hydroponics, that it would be an issue of kotzer to take it out on Shabbos, even though it's not actually in the ground, but based on the Gemara of Haini Rabisa, I mean, that is its life source, that is where it's growing, similar to the mushroom on the jug. And that's it's brought down in Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Vav Si'if Hei talks about grass growing on a kli, grass growing on a jug, and says it would be a problem of kotzer. So he's totally correct that's the issue. And just to address one more question that we talked about that was brought up Agav separately, is that yes, a fish that dies on Shabbos is muksa. As far as administering medicine to a sick fish, so that gets into the world of muksa and pets and the like, which is beyond us here. But just I wanted to go back to address those questions. So thank you.